I was beginning a new work week at my old church, and I was sitting there in my favorite chair, a wingback chair, and I was going through all the notes that I had taken that Sunday when people whispered into my ear things that were going on in their life. And so I was reading through them and then thinking about the sermon that I was going to write for the following Sunday, and I was making notes and going through all these little slips of paper. And I'd been doing it for maybe an hour or so, and I got a call. Yes, I got a call. I got a call from the chairman of the board, and he said, "Pat, are you feeling okay today?" I said, "Well, yes, I am, chairman." And he said, "Well, because your secretary, I just wanted to let you know, told me that you were asleep, and I was worried you were not feeling very well." And I assured him that I was not sleeping and that I felt fine, thank you very much. Soon as I hung up, I buzzed my secretary. And I asked her to come into my office and asked her to sit down. She had a piece of paper and a pen with her to take notes. And I said, "What is my title?" And she said, "You are senior minister." And then she named the church. I said, "That is right." I said, "And what do ministers do?" She said, "Well, they write sermons." I said, "Yes, they do." She said, "They visit people in the hospital." And I said, "Yes, they do. What else do they do?" She said, "Well," I said, "when people are not feeling real well and they have something going on in their lives, what do they ask of me?" She said, "Oh, to pray." I said, "Bingo. When I sit in this chair, this wingback chair, and I close my eyes, I am praying. I am not sleeping, because that is what I've been called to do, to pray, a very big part of my job. You understand?" She says, "Yes." I said, "Meeting is over." Now, I'm not sure, I'm not positive, I couldn't hear every word of it, but I believe she went and had a come to Jesus prayer over our meeting. I could hear her voice. She may have made a telephone call. But we may pray with our eyes open, or we may pray with our eyes shut. Prayer can happen in a lot of different ways. But we all come to pray, particularly people of faith. You know, we don't have to use words. Mostly we do. But in the weeks to come, we're going to be doing a three-part series. This week, we're going to talk about what is prayer, what is some of the models of prayer. And then the second week, next time we gather, it's going to be on the Lord's Prayer, which is Jesus' example of prayer and how he wants us to emulate that prayer. And then the third week, we're going to talk about all the different ways to pray. There's meditation, there's journaling. There's all types of prayers that we're going to investigate and try. And it will richly bless you, I'm sure. But a lot of people have a hard time praying. They think that they have to use the right prayers and the right words, and it's just not true. But one of the greatest things I think to do is to pray from the Psalms. But let me remind us going forward that if you do not have a good prayer life, an active prayer life, then you become stale spiritually very quickly. I'm talking about not just day-old bread. I'm talking about week-old bread with a little green around the crust, stale. Because without prayer, we cannot fully be Christians, only Christians by name. Prayer is the key, and that's why it's going to take at least three sermons, and it could be more, to investigate this most powerful communication with God. So let us hear from the psalmist who speaks of his desperate yearning and need to connect to his God through prayer. and it comes from the reading of Psalms 86, 1 through 7. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord. For to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant. For you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O God, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. Beautiful, beautiful prayer. And it is a prayer of the Old Testament that is used as a model for prayer as well. The prayer is talking to God and listening to God, for God to talk to us and for us to talk to God is prayer. It's both talking and listening. And we're going to talk about listening a little bit later. But it really is about a dialogue, just a conversation with a friend. And again, I'll say this over and over, there are no special words, but it is a conversation of the heart. It is a pouring out of our needs, our desires, our fears. It is when we go to our gut and we share with a loving God, trusting that God hears us. It's a crying out for help and giving praise and thanksgiving as well, just like the psalmist did in the reading. But the psalmist's words are the essence of what we look for when we are praying. We empty our souls out. The psalmist openly and completely trusts God's direction, if you may have noticed. Said it several times how he trusted God. And when we go to prayer, we want to trust God, and we should. We should not hold back. We should believe that our words are going to be heard by God. We have no idea what those words will do, if they will move mountains, if they will move hearts, or maybe they just change us. But we pray. We pray because we've got so many things coming at us, don't we, in life. There are so many people who sometimes oppose us. We can't handle it by ourselves. There are job problems. There are health problems. We've all heard about it today just in the prayer request. So we increase our strength when we pray, and so our faith is stronger when we pray. The more we pray, the more spiritual we become, and the more faithful we become. Now, I have to tell you, I think most Christians, and even as a minister, I think we're kind of sloppy with our prayer life, most of us. So we have to be reminded that God wants to hear from us often, not just every now and then, not just last-ditch effort. God is not a last-ditch effort God. God has come to me first. And after prayer, sometimes nothing happens and we worry about it. Did I say something wrong? Did I not use the right words? But we keep praying because we're people of faith. And the more we pray, the more things change. One of the things it said in the scripture I just read is save me. The word save me. How many times have we needed to be saved? Saved from some horrible event that's going on. Saved from something that's going on with a family or friends. Save me is why we pray. Sometimes there's so much chaos and confusion and we don't know what direction, and so we look to God for direction. But we have to trust God's direction. We can't be playing Monday morning quarterback and trying to decide for ourselves. And that's where discernment and listening comes in. And that takes quietness. That takes a special place set aside to just listen to the promptings of the heart. It can happen, though, when you're going about your life. You get a little prompting. There's something that somebody says to you that you believe is directly meant to be delivered to you that day. We've all had it. but we listen to those. Prayer 86 shows us many things, and then again, it is used as a model of prayer in the Old Testament. Prayer 86 shows us the voice of dependence, that we are to be dependent on God. We are so independent in this society, it is hard for us to just submit. Another word that we find used here. But prayer is the voice of trust. We must pray with trust. If we want to get through to God, if God thinks that we are just giving lip service, I don't believe our prayers are as effective. Prayer is not only a plea for life, it is a submission of life. When you go to pray, you submit your life to God. And sometimes we get so flowery with our prayers and the perfect words that we don't submit. We hold our heads high because what a beautiful prayer I just prayed. God does not care about the chosen words. God cares about the heart. It's snowing outside, never mind. It's only August. Prayer is only a plea for life, again, if it is a submission of life. And prayer 86 shows us that prayer is the voice of commitment. So we've got to be committed to prayer. We can't just do it every now and then. We do it when we need it. You know that. When we need something, boy, we are there. We're praying for it. I've got a meeting today, God, make it go good. Nothing wrong with that. But that real heartfelt prayer takes more time and it takes discipline. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. That's in verse 6. Now I have started asking people to pray for me because I don't want to be shy with God, especially when it comes to the church. And I've been asking other ministers to pray for me, and I'm praying for them in the church. But supplication is when you pray for yourself. And that's what this psalmist is doing. Nothing wrong with it. We need to pray for ourselves because, again, I'm not all that great at it. I'm great at praying. I pray for other people all day long. And then I wonder sometimes why I feel a little empty. So we have to be careful as people in ministry to keep our own flames going. And sometimes that means having other people pray for you. And don't you think that the people that are not here today, I'm not going to name any names, Fishers, Deatons, but I'm just saying that they are not off the hook today. I asked them both to pray for us. This is a prayer series. I'm asking everybody I know. Water Christian Church is going through a prayer series. May I have your prayers? And Lisa and Kathy couldn't have been happier. And I believe that they are praying for us because they are both people of prayer and the whole family is, Scott and Jeff included. But sometimes we need people to pray for us and it can be powerful. But here are the different kinds of prayer. One of them is supplication. We just talked about that is when you pray for me. You pray for yourself. We ask God to help us to do things that we find hard to do. Ask God to help us be better people. The list goes on and on. And then there's intercession, which we do every Sunday morning. We pray for other people. That's powerful when we pray for other people. They cannot have enough prayer. A lot of these things we named today, they're serious things that need to be prayed for. We pray for others and we ask God to help our family, our friends, those who are sick and dealing with things that are unimaginable. And then there's the prayer of thanksgiving. Every prayer should have the prayer of thanksgiving. Thanking God for something, because there's so much to thank God for. Thanking God for the music, the gift of music that enlivens the service. The creativity that we see around us from art. I love art. The beautiful flowers, the water, the beauty of nature, our families, our jobs. There's so much to thank God for. And if we skip that part, it's a little egotistical, don't you think? Sometimes it's good to just start with a thank you. And then there is confession, and I can't overstate this as well. Confessing our sins, confessing what we've done wrong, even if we don't really think it was that bad, even when we think that we can justify what we did, when we're with God, We get humble, and we get honest, and we tell the truth. There's no holding back. And that is when I believe God leans in the most, when we really, really share, I am sorry. I confess my sins. Doesn't have to be the worst sin in the world, something that somebody's going to lock you up for. But I tell you this, if you don't confess them, you will be locked up and you'll struggle. 1 John 1 through 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, God's just waiting for us to just say, I'm sorry, just like we would with our child and our family. Just say you're sorry and then everything goes away. You're forgiven. Well, it doesn't always go away. Sometimes we have to suffer the consequences. But when we confess to God, God is a forgiving God. Many feel that they can't pray, and I've mentioned this already, because they don't have the words. And I was one of those people. I think I may have shared with you that when I was first starting ministry, if somebody called on me to pray, even mentioned the word prayer to me, I've got to go. Or I would have to just slip out the back. It made my heart pound so loud that I really believed people could hear the pounding of my heart. It scared me so bad to pray because I thought I had to perform. I thought I was not just praying to God, who is so forgiving. God's the last person, and God is a person, a spirit, to worry about. I was thinking about the people around me. What will they think when I mess up? What will they think? And so I went years in church, in ministry, and I would avoid praying. I was scared to death of it. And it was because I thought that the person I was performing for was the people surrounding me, and it was just an audience of one, God. And so when I learned that, I began just to speak from my heart very simply. Simple words. And it is, if you don't pray out loud, and a lot of you don't, I've been in a circle with you. It's crickets. It's crickets when I say, let's all pray. I hear a few of you, but there's some crickets. Everyone should be able to start getting comfortable and pushing yourself just a little bit. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be a lot. Prayer was described by Paul as a gift from God. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And sometimes you'll say just the right thing because you just put it in the Spirit's hands. If you just say what Anne Lamott says to say, Anne Lamott is a Christian writer, and I think I have all of her books, but one of my favorite books is called, it's on prayer, Help, Thanks, and Wow. She said, if you got that, you got it down. Help, thanks, and wow. And all those things were in Psalms 86. Help, I am in need. And you list what you're in need of. Thanks. Thanks for getting me through it. And wow, what a beautiful world we live in. Wow. That's it. And if you ever have to stand up or sit down and say a prayer, those three things, if you had one line for each of those things, you would say a beautiful prayer that was pleasing to God. You can't get much simpler than that. And it just takes simple words. And sometimes it takes no words at all. Anyone can pray if you have a humble heart. And that's it. You got to be humble. Again, we hear all these beautiful prayers, and I love to hear someone's prayer that's, you can tell, is very rehearsed. I love a beautiful prayer like that, but when somebody is just humble, hasn't given it any thought, and is just praying off the cuff of their heart, there's nothing more pure than that. Perfectly formed phrases and sentences are not important. And when we pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Not so much. In the New Testament, we are taught that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to submit their lives. This was very big with Jesus. Thy will be done, he said. And so for me, and I believe it should be for you as well. When you pray, if you pray, thy will be done. All the people I pray with over there, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know what God wants. I don't know which way it's going to turn. And the last thing I want to do is pretend like I do. So it's always thy will be done. It's not what we want necessarily, but we have to submit to God. Thy will be done. And if we pray that way, then we are submitting to our God, who is the source of all prayers. I ran across a little book that Roy Stauffer gave me. Many of you know who Roy Stauffer is. He was a senior minister for like 32 years at Lindenwood. And I was just starting to go back to church and actually was just starting to feel a call, though I didn't know it at the time. And he gives me this little bitty book. It was not that thick. And it's called Taste and See. And he said, this is a great book. Just look through it. And he could tell I was real hungry. I was real thirsty for faith. And so I don't recall if he said, return it. I just don't recall. But I still haven't. It's been about 20 years. And so, dear God, forgive me for not returning that book. But I really want to keep it. Amen. And it is a wonderful book. And I have turned to it. He had all these lines in it underscored. And so have I. But it talks about this, it talks about the scripture that we've talked about today. And it says that sometimes we look at God as Santa Claus. And we ask for things that we want and we expect that our stocking will be filled. And that is not God's purpose at all. It also talks about the fact that we are on a spiritual journey, and we are in such spiritual poverty, each of us, and when we start admitting our own spiritual poverty when we go to God, that is when we actually start praying. Just like the prayer in 86, he had spiritual poverty, and we all do. Because it also reminds us in this little book that we cannot orchestrate God's moves. Our words are not going to necessarily change how God's going to act. God is an all-knowing, all-loving God. And God does not need our prayers. That's what the little book says. And I believe it. God needs for us to pray for ourselves so that we admit our poverty in spirit, and then and only then can we start connecting with God. Because as soon as we start with this attitude that I just need this checklist and I got to move on pretty quick, we're not really praying in the way that God wants us to pray. Prayer can refresh our spirits and our lives, but we have got to really, really submit. Now, we have all prayed to date someone. Remember when everybody was a little younger, and all of you are still young, remember praying that you would date a certain person, that person would like you back, even love you back, and you prayed for it, and you prayed for it, and you prayed for it, and then finally they asked you out, and you start dating, and you go, God, it was an answered prayer, that's great. And then they cheated on you, and you go, well, I thought that was an answered prayer. Well, I'm not so sure that God does not put us together with people. I believe that happens. But sometimes we pray for what we want, really what we want, and we don't say, thy will be done. And I know that I never prayed that. It was my will I wanted done. So be careful of what you pray for. Now, this is a silly story, but I had to include today. We are trying to decide on a paint for our house. Has anybody ever tried to paint their entire exterior of their house? Anybody? It is one of the most grueling things in the world because you can't mess up. Because if you do, you'd have to pay to have it all done over. Nobody's going to do that. So you'd have to live with it. It's very frightening. I've lost a little bit of sleep over it. Now, it's not something that I would pray about. You know, I wouldn't really pray, God, you know, can you pick out the paint for me? But I literally have gone, do you like this one better? Is it look happier to you? Just kind of kidding. But a funny thing happened. After looking at all these paints, 1,000 paints, wearing my family out, wearing my friends out, wearing the painters that are giving the bids out, I was sitting at lunch last Sunday with a friend, and I looked out, and I saw this. It was in Midtown, and I saw this house. I go, God, I like that paint color. I said, do you mind if we just drive over there when we get out of here, just drive around the corner? I go, sure, sure. Good friend of mine. She had heard about the paint story. She was so tired of hearing about it. She was glad to drive me over there. She almost dropped me off. But anyway, I go, and she said, just go in and knock on the door if you like and find out what it is. So I went and asked her. I said, what's the name of the color of your house? And she said, Oyster Bay. And I go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was the color I was trying to decide on. All the colors in the world, all the houses in Memphis. I believe God answered my prayers, even though I didn't overtly pray to God. I think God wanted me to see that house so I would get back to business of building the kingdom and I would leave all these good people alone. I do believe it. It was a God thing for sure. And so I took a picture of it, and we're going to paint our house. Of course we're going to paint our house that color. And we will love it because God helped me choose it. I'm just sure of it. But prayer comes in many forms, as we will see in the weeks to come. And God is a creative God. And I believe God works in really crazy, mysterious ways. Do I pray for other people? Yes. Do you pray for other people? Of course. And we need those prayers to connect us. But we need the prayers to connect us with one another. And I was thinking about that this week. Sometimes when I'm praying with a family member who is scared or worried, and we have this great connection when we pray, I can feel this connection between them, and I begin to feel something, a stronger connection than when I first walked into the room. The Bible tells us to pray constantly, and a lot of times I'll walk the halls and I'll pray for all the people that I'm walking by, not the ones that I'm necessarily visiting. But remember, you are not performing when you pray. And so when I go into a room, I try to listen to people and pray for their needs. I recall being asked to pray once and how my heart, you know, again, like I was telling you, beats out of my chest. Well, it doesn't beat out of my chest anymore. It really leans into the people and their needs. But sometimes we need to center ourselves. And I can tell you this, that getting on your knees, your hands and knees, and praying is one of the most powerful ways to pray. We did this as a child, and God loves the child in us. So if you're having a hard time connecting with God, and you feel like God is not listening to you, or you're not really feeling the presence of the Spirit, try going on your knees. Maybe hard getting up, but try it. Get something to hold on to, but try it. Because that centering is a submission. That centering is saying, I am all here for you, not just, I gotta shoot up a quick prayer. Prayer is the most effective and more like a window to our souls if we are disciplined with our prayers. Again, I'll keep telling you this, we've got to be disciplined. Have a time and have a place that you pray. Maybe it's out in your backyard. Maybe you've got a special spot. Just go out there. Go out there whatever time of day when you get off work or early in the morning and pray, and that's your time. Just needs to be a few minutes. Have a special place. It really helps. Sometimes we'll pray in the middle of the house and people be coming in and out and the pets are jumping all over us. It's not a real good way to pray. You only need a few minutes. If you can take 5 or 10 minutes, even better. But have a place where it's just you and God. It's y'all's getaway. And you've got to have prayer time established. Morning, noon, whatever you want. I always pray before I go to sleep, and my new prayer is, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. And I just chant that over and over and over until I fall asleep. Sometimes I have more words, more of a prayer to go with it, but every night I do that. And I fall asleep showing my love to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I sleep better that way. But there's really only one way to learn to pray, and that is to begin praying and to decide that you're going to be a prayerful person because you are a suffering servant, just like the psalmist, because we all are suffering servants. Now, as I posted on Facebook, I wrote my prayers down this week, knowing that I was going to be preaching today. I wrote them down, and it was an eye-opener. Because, you know, you pray sometimes, and particularly when you pray a lot, as a chaplain does, and you can't remember all of them, but I made notes of them this time. And it was a humbling experience, all the people that God put in my path and what they were going through. The human bond through prayer is something that I really noticed this week more than anything. Of course we pray to God. Of course we want to connect to our God. But the thing that I realized this week by looking back and writing my prayers down is God wants us to connect with the people, the individuals, the humans. And it does. It's a powerful bond when we pray with people, particularly holding hands in a circle while you've got a group of people or just one or two people. Sometimes I have my hand on their shoulders depending on what the situation is. And I remember the people's names when I pray with them and they remember mine. I remember the mother who was 13 weeks pregnant and they found out that something is not right. And we prayed. I remember praying for a family whose wife took a turn in surgery. It did not go the right way. I remember their names. And we prayed and we prayed. I remember the young wife, a nurse, whose husband is about to be put into hospice at the young age of 30. I remember their names. I remember the man left alone in the ER, and I was called down to pray for this man because he was actively dying and he had no one there to pray with him. So I go in to his bed and I started praying the Lord's Prayer, and I called him by name and told him he was loved and that God is with him and that God loves him, and I said it over and over. The next day, remarkably, I saw him up on the floor. And they said he had gotten up and walked around, which I was astonished. Now, I don't know where he is now, but God chose to keep him with us for a little while longer. And I remember praying for the man that had a drinking problem so bad that he was kicking himself over it. He was kicking himself over it because he had lost the love of his life. His wife was divorcing him. And he cried and he cried and he cried, and we prayed. And I remember praying for the young 18-year-old who had tried to take her life. And I remember the names of her parents who had adopted her, who were in shock. And I'm in prayer right now, as I mentioned, with another church and a minister. And we're praying for each other. And that's a joyful prayer. It's a positive prayer. But all prayers are necessary. All prayers are needed because something extraordinary happens when we pray. We have no idea how it affects God. This side of heaven, we will never know. But there is power in the name of Jesus. And it brings us together as people of faith when we pray like nothing else. That's why people cry after a prayer. They don't know me. I don't know them. But we come together and step into this holy presence of God in prayer. I mean, when you think about it, it's astounding what prayer really is. We are really stepping out when we do that with each other. And so prayer is for us as much as anything else. And it is also to help us understand ourselves better. Because when we start praying from the depths of our soul, nobody's listening but God, we begin to know who we are. Because we are living in a facade half the time. I know I do. We all put on fronts. How are you doing? Fine. Oh, I'm great. Life's great. We know how we do, but when we get with God and we've got the covers over our head crying, we learn how broken we are and that we are suffering servants, and we are humbled by that. And that is exactly when God can use us, and that is exactly when God can show us his face. Something extraordinary happens when we pray for others and for ourselves. Henry Nouwen says, praying means above all to be accepting of God, who is always new, always different. For God is a deeply moved God whose heart is greater than our own. The open acceptance of prayer in the face of an ever new God makes us free. In prayer, we are constantly on our way through a pilgrimage we do not know the end of, but we know that we are with the one we need to be with. We will never know for sure if we have reached God, but we do know that God will always be new and that there is no reason to fear as long as we pray. There is no reason to fear as long as we pray. Not that things will turn out the way we thought, but we are holding God's hand, and that is as much and the most that we can do. We will never know this side of heaven where our prayers go, who we have affected, who we have helped. We will never know. But we do know that every time we pray, we draw closer to God, closer to one another, and we become better and stronger people for it. Don't be surprised as we go to God more in prayer that you will find at first an emptiness and you go, this is not working. Do not stop there, because the emptiness again is reminding you that you are a suffering servant that needs to submit to the one who can fill you. But like building any relationship, our efforts will soon give way to the breath of the most loyal friend you will ever have, Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.